100 days on the place, yeah, man. It's a kick it, you know. That's right.
Yeah, me rolling and rock it to the beat, and me love the sound.
Oh, Chess, you can mess with the sound. Better grab your girl, your posse, and gather round.
Yeah, me rolling and bobbing and going like a mad man. Oh, the man got the studio for 19 or long, so me say.
Hey, 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 Digital Sister, and I am back. Well, I had some problems recording the podcast, which is why there's a delay, so I'm hoping that things will be okay. Thanks to the Podomatic team for hopefully getting everything straightened out for me. Well, what's going on with Don Imus? You know I have to weigh in on that. I just couldn't believe his comments when I heard that, because it's just absolutely horrible, and I've talked about this so many times in previous podcasts about Caucasian radio talk show hosts who feel they can say anything, and then when they get checked, you know, it's always a joke, or it was a misunderstanding, or something was taken out of context, whatever, whatever. But it continues to happen. And so this time, for him to call the Rutgers team nappy-headed hoes, I mean, I think that just really, really struck everybody in the gut, because it just reflects on not only feeling that you can say this, but is that really what he thinks? Is that really how he feels? And his producer, McGurk, he started the whole conversation, and Imus just went along with it in terms of calling them hoes and nappy-headed and all that. I mean, what's going on? And the thing that they don't understand is white males in this society, how it affects the perception of black females in other people's eyes. So, for instance, if I go check into a hotel and someone is an Imus fan and has this in the back of his mind, if this hotel clerk in their own mind doesn't feel I should be staying at this hotel, then those kinds of behaviors come out. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about delay in service, making you wait just a little too long, standing talking with the previous, particularly other Caucasian hotel guests, while ignoring you. I mean, these are the types of things that happen when these kinds of comments occur. It is about how African Americans are treated, in particular African American women are treated. That is the unintended consequence when these kinds of comments come out. And he really needs to check himself. He really needs to be, taken off the air. Or if he isn't taken off the air, there should be a revampment. Because I really suspect that he won't be taken off the air, because they're just suspending him right now. But that may change, because a number of advertisers have pulled advertising from the show. Procter & Gamble, which is a big advertiser. Staples and Bigelow Tea. And so these people find it totally abhorrent. And they're, I think, standing up and doing the right thing and pulling advertising from the show. You are seeing some other white talk show hosts and politicals, whatever, who are banding together in support of Imus. So it's very interesting to see how this all is going to pan out. And looking at MSNBC, they don't have any African Americans on staff. There's Allison Stewart, who does a show, but that's it. There's nobody in the newsroom. There's nobody on staff. And I suspect maybe if there was more representation in the studio, maybe he would have thought twice about even saying something like that, because he would be working with people daily. But when you're in a sea of whiteness, you feel you can say whatever you want to say. And it's condoned. You know, so it's going to be very interesting to see how this all pans out. I'm glad he has had the courage to go on Al Sharpton's show. I'm glad he has the guts to go and actually meet with the Rutgers team face to face. I mean, it took 2 days for MSNBC to react, and it took about 2 days for people to start a backlash for these kinds of comments. So, you know, racism in America is still alive and well, and we're all still kind of dealing with it. So let's see what happens and how this all pans out. I can't believe that Snoop is in trouble again with the law. You know, just when you thought he was moving past all of that stuff and branching out and getting into other career directions, producing and doing all these things, writing a book, he still seems to be drawn to that lifestyle that continues to cause him problems. And he and Diddy were just banned from Britain, and he was arrested in Sweden. And so I guess also what I'm saying is some of these rappers, they don't really understand that some of their actions influence how people perceive them. And to the point now where other countries are banning you from even coming into the country. So, you know, I think maybe they'll wake up and start seeing this, that not everybody wants to put up with some of the stuff that goes along with hip-hop. So I'm hoping that, you know, with this situation, he'll look at what he's doing and just get back into producing, writing your book, doing other things, so that you don't always have to derail your career with these problems. Now, on the flip side, his wife, Shante Brodus, is founder and head of Boss Lady Entertainment, and she created Boss Lady to bring integrity back to the entertainment industry, and includes rapper and actress The Lady of Rage and the female clothing line, Brodus' female clothing line, Coco Ree, as clients. And also Lady of Rage was on Death Row way back when that was happening. But, you know, she's doing positive things, and I can only imagine that she's probably tired of dealing with all of the things, the arrests and all the problems, you know, that probably go along with being married to someone like him. But I really hope he gets it together, because, you know, he needs to be doing other things with his time and with his energy. So, Snoop, get it together, please, 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 please. Let's see, what else is going on today in the world? Yes, yes, Girls Gone Wild creator. Can you imagine? His name is Joe Francis. He's 34 years old. He makes an estimated, get this, $29 million a year from videos of young women exposing their breasts and in other sexually provocative situations. And apparently he got picked up for contempt of court and some problem with that. So kind of interesting to see that even people highly successful still have lots and lots of problems. Now, let's see. So he's being held contempt of court, and it came about because some women who were in the video, it was a lawsuit brought by 7 women who were underage when they were filmed by his company in Panama City Beach during spring break in 2003. So it's just been this running problem that he's had with this. And he apparently, you know, is kind of arrogant, but he doesn't want to go to jail. So he's trying to figure out a way to settle this contempt of court so he won't have to go to jail. But, you know, who would have thought that this guy is, you know, being held in contempt of court? Well, it looks like Obama is showing us the money, and he is like right behind Hillary Clinton raising $25 million. And I think everybody's probably surprised that he was able to raise so much, but that makes him a serious presidential contender, and I think everybody's really very much excited about that. So I think he's going to give Senator Hillary Clinton a run for her money, and it'll be interesting to see how things pan out. And on the Republican side, it seems as though Mitt Romney is turning out to be the front runner. And it's going to be interesting to see, too, how this whole Don Imus thing, because so many of the political candidates, so many of the white power broker males, you know, go on his show because they know what his show is all about. Some are saying it's reprehensible, but I'm still going to go on his show, like Rudy Giuliani. So it's going to be interesting to see if Don Imus's comments and supporters, if that's going to, especially if they're presidential candidates, if his comments are going to have any effect on presidential campaigns, and is it going to be something that's brought up when they're on their campaign staffs, which may or may not catch them off guard. So I think the IMUS thing has many far-reaching, probably unintended consequences down the road that we haven't even begun to see. And I think if people are smart and they're thoughtful, they're going to force these candidates to maybe really talk about how they really feel. Maybe how they really feel about African Americans, how they feel about African American women, how they feel about women in general. Just to hear what the real attitudes are. I mean, the whole macaca comment by George Allen, who was a senator from Virginia, that totally derailed his campaign and totally derailed his ability to be a contender as a presidential candidate. So I think these comments have some far-reaching situations that we haven't even begun to see. So it's going to be interesting to see how the dust settles. Now, if you're looking at all the news today and seeing so much havoc and chaos and just wondering how in the world you could get just a few good inspirational words sent to you, well, I've got a solution for you. You can go to www.ubfogc.org. That's U, B as in boy, F as in Frank, O as in Oliver, G as in George, C as in cat, .org. And you can subscribe for just $4.99 to receive inspirational messages from none other than Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, Essence Magazine advice columnist, who also happens to be a real live therapist. And I love it because every day I'm getting some positive message, something that's inspirational into my cell phone, and I refer back to it, you know, throughout the day just to get a little pick-me-up. So if that's something that you think would help you get through your day, go to the website www.ubfogc.org and subscribe today. So, looks like the Rock Hall's finally acknowledging hip-hop by inducting Grandmaster Flash last week, along with R.E.M., Patti Smith, Van Halen, and the 60s girl group, the Ronettes. I'm really glad that they're doing it because you have some diehard rock people who really don't think that it fits in or has any place with the Rock Hall. So I'm glad it's being recognized. I mean, it's hard to think that hip-hop and basically, hip-hop's been around for 30 years. You know, it's going through some growing pains now and some change. But it's just, you know, where did the time go? And it is a musical art form that really just set the world on fire. I mean, you have rappers and hip-hoppers in every culture around the world. And it's infiltrated our popular culture today. You see advertisers using 411. You know, 24/7, you go girl. I mean, all this kind of little hip hop sayings. So hip hop has really become very much part of the culture. So I'm glad that it's being recognized despite how some people don't think it should be there. Well, congratulations to Halle Berry. It looks like she got the 2,333rd Walk of Fame star about a week or so ago. And it's so exciting for her because this really, I think, cements her as a bona fide Hollywood icon. And I don't know how many African-American women have the star, but I'm guessing she's probably one in five, if that many. And so that's really cool. And just the fact, too, that she's a native of Cleveland and she just had her premiere of her new movie, Perfect Stranger, and had the opening here in town. And we just love her because she always brings a little bit of Hollywood to Cleveland. She never forgets about that. When she had introducing Dorothy Dandridge a few years ago, she also had the red carpet opening there. So it was always very exciting, and we're just glad that Homegirl has made us proud. So congratulations to Halle Berry, a bona fide Hollywood star. Another icon, Sidney Poitier, received an award, the Commonwealth Award, from a Delaware businessman because, you know, he has a lifetime of inspiring people and really just being excellent in his field. And think about it, he really was, because he is the actor that I think all African-American actors looked up to as how they wanted their career to be. He didn't get slotted in, you know, one particular type of role. He played diverse types of thinking characters. And you knew when you saw a Sidney Poitier movie, it was a quality movie that was going to be good. It wasn't going to be trash or garbage. So, I mean, you know, it's great that he's being acknowledged. And I can't believe he's 80 years old. That's really something. But, you know, when I used to live in New York, I was walking down Fifth Avenue, and who was walking towards me? None other than Sidney Poitier. So I smiled and I nodded, and he smiled and nodded right back. In that few seconds, I had a moment with Sidney Poitier. And he was just, even in that brief second, he was very gracious. And the other thing, which I thought was very surprising, was I had no idea he was so tall. He's a tall guy and a very good-looking guy. So kudos to Sidney Poitier, still raking in the awards and still being recognized for the true trailblazer that he truly was. And I just want to mention that we're real sorry at the passing of Eddie Robinson, who, you know, there are just do not make men like him anymore. I mean, he is a coach that spent 57 years at Grambling. I mean, that is totally unheard of. He sent more than 200 players to the NFL and won 400 games during that 57-year career. His career spanned 11 presidents, several wars, and the civil rights movement. And despite starting his career at Grambling when, you know, segregation was in full swing, he wasn't bitter about the things he had to go through in order to get his team playing and to play across the South. I like his comment because it really shows the kind of character that he had and the kind of man that he was. He said, "The best way to enjoy life in America is to first be an American, and I don't think you have to be white to do so. Blacks have had a hard time, but not many Americans haven't." And he's absolutely right about that. And I understand, because I'm not a real football fan, but I always loved reading about him and his philosophy and how he did things. But he apparently was offered an NFL coaching position back in the 70s, but he declined. And I'm sure he could have made, you know, much more money as in there than playing with a coaching a college team, but he declined because he felt he would have more impact working at the college level, and he could influence lives more, and that's just where he wanted to be. And so he didn't let the bling bling get in his eyes and take him off of what he felt was his personal mission. So, you know, we don't have many men like that anymore. We certainly don't have many men in the sports arena who are like that, except perhaps maybe Muhammad Ali, who people still love and who came out earlier in the month for a big fundraiser in Phoenix, and it drew everybody, including the likes of Reba McEntire, who donated two dinners at her house for $250,000, and somebody snapped that up for auction. But the auction, there's something like 1,300 people paying $2,000 a pop who came to support him, and the fundraiser benefits his Parkinson's charity at a place he has in Phoenix. So, you know, people still love him, and I think they love his character and that he stood up for something and his belief back in the 60s when he refused to be drafted and go to Vietnam. And so, you know, people like that, and I think, you know, maybe Eddie Robinson are two of the folks that people revere and who continue to love. So we will miss Eddie Robinson, and we continue to be glad that Muhammad Ali can still, you know, get about and come out, and he enjoys being at these events despite being, you know, really racked with Parkinson's disease. Well, in any event, I think this is it for now. I just want to have it kind of short and sweet and let you know I hadn't forgot about you, but I was having some technical problems with the podcast, but I hope everything's okay. So I will be back to you in a few days. Digital Sister signing out. And of course, send me some comments, send me some feedback. I love hearing from you. Oh, I've cracked the continent of Africa. Had some listeners in Cairo, but I also have a listener in Kenya and a nice fan base in Beijing, China. So again, thanks for making the podcast take off and soar. I really appreciate it. And I'll be back with you in a few days. Digital Sister signing out. Bitter, me love you so.